بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the last lesson, we went through the fifth principle from this blessed treatise, Al-Usul al-Sitta, the six fundamental principles by Shaykh al-Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah. Who can remember the subject of the fifth principle? Awliya, Bayanullahi al-Awliya, Bayanullahi lil-Awliya, an explanation by Allah regarding His Awliya. So if somebody was to ask you, who are the Awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what's the answer? Who are the Awliya of Allah? Better than that. The definition, which is exactly الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, those people who have iman and they have at-taqwa, because that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He defined the awliya. He said أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Then He said الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, those who have iman and those who have at-taqwa. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he has a piece of poetry. He said, "Man kana mu'minan taqiyan kana lillahi waliyan." Man kana mu'minan taqiyan kana lillahi waliyan. Whoever is a person of iman and taqwa, then he is for Allah a wali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He said in Surah Ali Imran, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. What did the ulama call this ayah? Some of the ulama, they gave a term to this ayah. Can you remember? Ahsant. Ayatul imtihan with a ha. Ayatul imtihan. Because it's a test. And the meaning of imtihan is a test. Meaning in this ayah, Allah says, say, if you claim to love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. So the test of a person's love of Allah is whether he follows the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then in last week's lesson, we went through a number of ayat and a number of ahadith which mentioned some of the attributes and the characteristics of the people of wilaya, or the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are some of these attributes or descriptions of the awliya? Good. They love Allah and Allah loves them. They fulfill the fard and then they carry on with the nawafil. Anything else? Al-ittiba', they follow the sunnah. Adhillatin ala al-mu'minin, a'izzatin ala al-kafirin, yujahiduna fi sabilillah, la yakhafuna lawmata la'im. They are humble in front of the believers and they are firm in front of the disbelievers, and they fight jihad in the way of Allah and they do not fear the blame of those who will blame, and also iman and at-taqwa. So all of this we studied in last week's lesson. In this week's lesson, we come to the last of the six principles, and the author rahimullah, he said al-aslu sadis, the sixth principle, he said raddu shubhati allati wada'aha ash-shaytan, is refuting the doubt that shaytan has placed. Fi tark al Qur'ani wa sunnah, to abandon the Qur'an and the sunnah. Wa tiba' al ara'i wal ahwa, al muftar al mutafarriqati al mukhtalifa, and instead to follow many differing opinions and desires. Wahiya, and this doubt which shaytan has placed in the people is an al Qur'an wa sunnah la ya'rifuha illa al mujtahid al mutlaq, that the Qur'an and the sunnah is not known except by a mujtahid mutlaq, And a mujtahid mutlaq, i.e. a scholar who has a very high degree of knowledge. Wal mujtahid huwa. And then this mujtahid, who can only understand the Qur'an and Sunnah, nobody can understand it, who is he? Al mawsufu bi kada wa kada. Then he is the one who has such and such qualifications and such and such attributes. Awsafan la'allaha la tujad tamatan fi Abi Bakr wa Umar. And perhaps these stringent conditions that they place upon a mujtahid, maybe even Abu Bakr wa Umar radiallahu anhuma, it isn't found in them. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنِ الْإِنسَانُ كَذَٰلِكَ. So if a person is not this type of mujtahid, this great scholar who has these attributes, فَلْيُعْرِضْ عَنْهُمَا فَرْضًا حَتْمًا لَا شَكَّ وَلَا إِشْكَالَ فِيهِ. Then he should turn away from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And this is an absolute obligation, and there is no doubt regarding this. He says, وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْهُدَى مِنْهُمَا. And whoever tries to seek guidance from the Qur'an and the Sunnah, فَهُوَ إِمَّا زِنْدِيق. Then either he is a zindiq, وَإِمَّا مَجْنُون. Or either he is somebody who is insane. لِأَجْلِ صُعُوبَةِ فَهْمِهِمَا. Because of how difficult it is to understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Then he said, Rahimullah, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ كَمْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ شَرْعًا وَقَدْرًا خَلْقًا وَأَمْرًا فِي رَدِّ هَذِهِ الشُّبْهَةِ الْمَلْعُونَةِ مِنْ وُجُوهٍ شَتَّى. He said, Subhanallah, how much has Allah explained through the evidence of the Sharia and the universal evidences in trying to clarify this cursed doubt from different angles. He said, بَلَغَتْ إِلَىٰ حَدِّ الضُّرُورِيَّةِ الْعَامَّةِ. And this clarification is so clear and so apparent that it is like those things which are known by the religion by necessity. The point is that shaitan, he places a doubt amongst many people, and many of Ahlul Bid'ah, many of the people of innovation, they also utilize this doubt. And this doubt is that you as a common ordinary Muslim, you cannot understand the Quran and the Sunnah. Even if you knew the Arabic language, then you cannot understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Why? The Qur'an and the Sunnah, try to understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah. This is reserved for not only scholars, but the greatest scholars. The mujtahid mutlaq. The highest level of scholar, only he is the one who can truly understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And therefore, you as a common Muslim, don't understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah. You can recite it if you want. You can even memorize it if you want. But trying to learn about it, or understand it, or take knowledge from it, or take guidance from it, or try to implement it, then this is not from you. And the reason why Ahlul Bid'ah do this is because they don't want their followers to understand the truth. And they don't want their followers to differentiate between truth and falsehood. And they're scared that perhaps if their followers who are juhal, if they learn, and if they start understanding, then the authority that they have over their followers, it will weaken, or the wealth which they are taking from their followers will not be able to take, and like this. And for this reason, you find, especially in our communities, you find many Muslims, many Muslim households, they respect the Quran, they love the Quran, they wrap it up, they put it in a high place. As for actually reciting the Quran or try to understand anything from the Quran, then this is almost absent in many families and many communities. And this is because this type of doubt has been placed in their mind, and they have been cultivated upon this doubt. That understanding the Quran and the Sunnah is not for you. This is only for the greatest scholars of the religion. If you want to read it, just read it. But don't try to understand or learn the Quran. And this doubt, and the author rahimullah said that this doubt was placed by shaitan. I.e. the shayateen amongst humans have taken it from the other shayateen and cultivated the people upon blindly following them. Don't try to learn, don't try to understand the Quran and the Sunnah, just accept what we say. And this doubt, it comes in different forms. So one of the angles in which they bring this doubt is they say that the Quran and the Hadith, and especially the Quran, it has a meaning which is zahir, and it has a meaning which is batin. So the zahir meaning is a meaning which every single person understands. But the batin meaning, the hidden meaning, the true essence of the Qur'an or the secret of the Qur'an, this is only known by us. This is only known by the great awliya, only known by the great scholars. This is one doubt that they place in the minds of the people. That there is a zahir meaning to the Qur'an and there is a batin meaning to the Qur'an. There is an apparent understanding of the Qur'an and then there is a hidden understanding of the Qur'an. The apparent understanding of the Qur'an is for everybody just to read. The real understanding of the Qur'an, it is reserved for the scholars of the groups or the heads of the groups. Also, they say that the Qur'an is divided into two parts. They say that there is the Qushur and there is the Lub. The Qushur is like the peel which is on top of a fruit. And the Lub is the core of the fruit. So they'll say that just the outer peel of the fruit, just the apparent meaning of the Qur'an, just reading it, this is for you guys. The lub of the Qur'an, the actual core of the Qur'an and the guidance of the Qur'an, this is only something which we can understand. So you have to blindly follow us. Another way that this doubt is placed in the minds of the people is, don't ask about the evidence. Who are you to ask about an evidence? Why are you questioning us regarding what we are telling you? You aren't able to understand the evidences. You have to blindly follow what the Imam has said. And then the other angle from which this doubt comes is that the Quran and the Ahadith, it isn't correct for a common person to read them for understanding and for seeking guidance. Rather, the common person should just recite them. As for the understanding of the Quran, then this is reserved for the great scholar of the religion. So, what this doubt means is if you want to recite the Quran, recite the Quran for barakah, for tabarruk. We know that there is a great reward for reciting the Quran. Even if you don't know what the Quran means and you don't understand Arabic, just making tilawa of the Quran, there is a great reward for this. So they're saying that if you want to recite the Quran, then recite the Quran just for the barakah, just for the reward of reciting the Quran. Even memorize the Quran if you want. But as for understanding the Quran, contemplating the Quran, pondering the Quran, thinking about the evidences in the Quran, then this is only for the great scholar. And then what does this result in? Two things. The first thing it results in is that the juhal in that community, and they are the majority, they will remain juhal. And as long as they remain juhal, then the leaders who are on the top can continue exploiting them and taking their wealth and pushing them whichever way they want, exploiting them for their own agenda. The second result of this shubha mal'una, this cursed doubt, is that some of the ayat of the Quran are abandoned. Some of the commands which Allah has commanded with no longer apply. So for example, Allah said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they, meaning the people, do they not contemplate over the Qur'an? So if this doubt now comes, that you shouldn't be contemplating the Qur'an, you should not be understanding the Qur'an, you just recite it, you just make tilawa. What happens to this ayah, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ? It's done away with. It no longer applies to the majority of the ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Qur'an, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. That we have made the dhikr, i.e. the Qur'an, easy, meaning easy to understand, easy to implement, easy to take guidance from. So is there anybody who will understand, ponder and contemplate it? What do we do with this ayah now? We do away with this ayah. This ayah does not now apply to the majority of the ummah. This only applies to perhaps 1% of the Muslim ummah, because nobody is able to understand it apart from us. Allah said in the Qur'an, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. A book we have revealed to you, blessed, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so that they may contemplate and ponder over its ayat. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and so that the people of intelligence can take signs and lessons from the Qur'an. What do we do with this ayah? We totally do away with this ayah. It doesn't apply anymore. This ayah does not apply to 99% of the ummah, because only the mujtahid mutlaq is able to ponder the ayat of the Qur'an. So this is what this doubt which comes from shaitan, this is what it necessitates. Number one, the jahil will remain a jahil, and therefore the leader can carry on exploiting them and their money and their opinions. And secondly, these ayat of the Quran, these commands of Allah, are not being fulfilled by the majority of the Muslims. We know that reciting the Quran, just the tilawah, the recitation of the Quran, this has a lot of reward. And Allah said in the Quran, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Quran, tartila, meaning with a beautiful voice. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Whoever does not melodiously recite the Qur'an, then he's not from us. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. So the command to the Muslim is not to merely say the Qur'an, but try to recite the Qur'an with a melodious voice. The word التغني usually is used with singing, but we don't want to say singing the Qur'an. But we mean reciting the Qur'an with a nice, beautiful, melodious voice. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ. That whoever does not recite the Qur'an in this way, he is not from us. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ مِنْهُ حَسَنًا. That every letter a person recites from the Qur'an, he has 10 rewards. Often he has a single reward. Then he said, وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. Then one reward will be multiplied by 10. So every letter that you recite from the Qur'an, even if you don't understand anything from it, just by reciting a letter of the Qur'an, you get 10 good deeds for a single letter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ حَرْف. He said, I'm not saying that أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ is one harf. He said, وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْف وَلَامٌ حَرْف وَمِيمٌ حَرْف. Alif is a letter and therefore you get 10 good deeds. Lam is a letter and therefore you get 10 good deeds. Meem is a letter, therefore you get 10 good deeds. So just by reciting Alif, Lam, Meem, then you have 30 good deeds. So these ayat and these ahadith, what do they tell us? That we should recite the Quran. We should make tilawa of the Quran, even if we don't understand anything from the Quran. Despite this great reward, this isn't why the Quran was revealed. So even though making tilawa of the Qur'an has a great reward, but this isn't why the Qur'an was revealed. Even though making hifz of the Qur'an, memorizing the Qur'an has a great reward, but this isn't why it was revealed. The Qur'an was not revealed for people to merely recite it and make hifz of it only. Rather, on top of it, to contemplate and ponder over its meaning. This is why the Qur'an was revealed. And this is what Allah said in those ayats which I recited previously. He said, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. This book which we have revealed to you and we have made it blessed. Why? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. So that they can ponder over its verses. In fact, even the recitation of the Qur'an with a beautiful voice, this is only done to help in pondering over the Qur'an. This is important. The tilawa of the Qur'an and the tartil of the Qur'an with a beautiful voice, it is only done with the objective of trying to ponder and contemplate over the Qur'an. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimullah, he was asked about this hadith in his fatawa. What is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet, مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ? That whoever does not beautifully, melodiously recite the Qur'an, he's not from us. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimullah, he said, التغني, this melodious recitation, it is الْجَهْرُ بِهِ. It is reciting the Qur'an aloud. مَعَ التَّحْسِينَ الصَّوْتِ, along with beautifying the voice. وَالْخُشُوعُ فِي, and having humility when reciting the Qur'an. And then he said, حَتَّى يُحَرِّكْ الْقُلُوبِ. So that the hearts are moved and stirred by the recitation of the Qur'an. لِأَنَّ الْمَقْصُودِ تَحْرِيكُ الْقُلُوبِ بِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Because the objective of making tilawa of the Qur'an with a melodious voice is why? Is to move the hearts of the people with regards to the Qur'an. حَتَّى تَخْشَعْ. So that the hearts of the people, they fear. وَحَتَّى تَطْمَئِنْ. So that the hearts of the people feel tranquility. وَحَتَّى تَسْتَفِيدْ. And so that the hearts of the people, they benefit from the Qur'an. Also, Ibn Kathir, rahimullah, al-Hafidh, he said regarding the saying of Allah, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Recite the Qur'an in a melodious way. He said, المطلوب شرعا إنهم إنما هو تحسين بالصوت الباعث على تدبر القرآن. He said that the beautifying of the voice in reciting the Quran it is only legislated to cause people to ponder over the Quran. وَتَفَهُّمِهِ and try to understand the Quran. وَالْخُشُوعُ وَالْخُضُوعُ وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لِلطَّاعَةِ and so people have humility when listening to the Quran and fear Allah when listening to the Quran and they comply to its obedience. He said this in Fadail al-Quran. So the point is, even the recitation of the Quran and reciting out aloud, it is done for the sake of helping the people make a tadabbur. And this is important for the people who lead the salah. That they shouldn't beautify their voices for the mere sake of beautifying the voice. They beautify their voices according to the meanings of the Quran. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions an ayah in which there is reward, then the voice changes slightly. And when Allah mentions an ayah in which there is punishment, then the recitation changes slightly. And this is something which our teachers in Jamia Samad used to tell us, that the sign of a good qari, of a good imam, is that he understands this ayah I'm reciting is mentioning the punishment of Allah, so his voice puts fear in the people. And this ayah is mentioning the reward of Allah, so he puts hope in the fear, in the minds and the hearts of the people. And his voice and his recitation changes like this. So even the recitation of the Quran, the tilawah of the Quran, the beautifying of the Quran, why is it done? In order to help the people who are praying behind or listening to understand, ponder, fear, have humility in front of the Quran. Now, the author said that these people, Ahlul Bid'ah, they take this doubt and they put in the minds of the people that you cannot understand the Quran, it isn't for you. For you is just the tilawah. The understanding of the Quran is for us. The ulama, they mentioned that the ayat of the Quran are two types. One type of ayah is called muhkamat. And the meaning of muhkamat is the clear ayat of the Quran in which the meaning is clear to the people. This is called al-muhkamat, from the word muhkam, which means clear. Meaning this ayah, it only has this apparent meaning. And then the second type of ayat of the Quran is called al-mutashabihat. And the mutashabihat are those ayat in which the meaning might not be apparent to every person. So for example, the common Muslim might not understand the meaning of this ayah because of his lack of knowledge, and another person who has some knowledge or a scholar will understand the meaning of this ayah. Or perhaps an ayah which can give two possible meanings, and therefore you need some knowledge to understand which of the two meanings is correct. So the ayat of the Quran are two types, the muhkamat and the mutashabihat. The muhkamat are the clear ayat, which have a clear meaning, which everybody understands. And this is the majority of the Quran. So the large majority of the Quran is muhkamat. Not like Ahlul Bid'ah say. Ahlul Bid'ah, they say to the common Muslim that unless you're a great scholar of the Quran, don't even bother reading the Quran. Or don't bother reciting, don't bother trying to understand the Quran. Just recite the Quran for tilawah, just for the reward. Or just memorize it. The ulama, they say, no. The ayat of the Quran which are muhkama, which are clear in meaning, this is the majority of the Quran. The large majority. The mutashabihat, those ayat which are sometimes difficult to understand, they are very few. So for example, when Allah says in the Quran, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, worship Allah alone and do not ascribe partners to Him. Does this ayah require a mujtahid, imam, alim to understand this ayah? No, it doesn't. Every single person can understand what Allah is saying when He said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. When Allah says in the Quran, like the Imam recited today, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and your Lord has legislated that you do not worship anybody besides Him and that you are good towards your parents. Can anybody amongst us say, I don't understand this ayah, I am not an imam, I am not a scholar, I am not mujtahid mutlaq, therefore I cannot try to implement or take guidance from this ayah. This ayah is only for the ulama. When Allah said in the Quran, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, say good to the people. Can only a mujtahid imam understand this ayah? When Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ, Allah is all-knowing and all-aware, السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, When Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there's nothing which is equal or comparable to Allah. When Allah said, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, all of these ayat in the Quran, are these ayat only for the ulama to understand or the mujtahid imam to understand? No, every single person can understand this type of ayah. When Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ, do not come close to the fawahish, the immoral actions, what is hidden and what is apparent. Can we not understand these ayat? Every person understands these ayat. And this is the majority of the Quran. Then there are certain ayat which are difficult to understand, which require knowledge. Like for example, the ayat of al-irth, of inheritance, the laws of inheritance. This requires a level of fiqh and a level of usul al-fiqh and a level of tafsir for a person to understand. The ayat of talaq, for example. So some of these ayat, and these are the minority, this is for the ulama to deduce and to implement. The majority of the Quran is muhkam. And the evidence for this, or this classification, was mentioned by Allah Himself in the Quran. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ, He is the one who has revealed the book to you. He said, مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ, in it, in the book, are ayat muhkamat, clear ayat. Then he said, هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, and these clear ayat, they are the core of the book. Meaning the core of the Quran and the majority of the Quran is muhkamat, clear, easy to understand ayat. And then he said, وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَات, and then there are some other ayat which are mutashabihat. Some people will understand, others will not understand because they don't have enough knowledge. And even the wording of this ayah, it shows this. So when Allah described the ayat which are muhkamat, He said, ayatun muhkamatun hunna ummul kitab. Ayat which are clear, and they are ummul kitab, the majority or the core of the Quran. When He want to talk about the ayahs which are difficult to understand, He said, wa ukharu mutashabihat, and there are a few others, there are some other ayat which require a little bit of knowledge. So this is important to understand. The ayat in the Quran are two types, muhkamat wa mutashabihat. Muhkamat are those ayat which are clear to understand, and this is the majority of the Quran, and this is for everybody to understand and implement and contemplate and ponder. Then there are the mutashabihat, and these are ayat which, yes, it requires a level of knowledge to understand. And then the author, he says, he explains how Ahlul Bid'ah, they work. He said that they will say, Ahlul Bid'ah, they will say, Al-Qur'an wa Sunnah la ya'rifuha illa al-mujtahidul mutlaq. That the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the only person who can understand it is the mujtahid mutlaq. So when it comes to knowledge, there are different levels of knowledge. There is the talib al-ilm, there is the alim, there is the hafiz, there is the mujtahid al-madhab, and then there is al-mujtahid al-mutlaq. So mujtahid al-madhab, he is the mujtahid within his own madhab. So for example, within the Hanbali madhab, there are different opinions even within the madhab. So there may be an issue, and on this issue, there's three different stances within an issue. The great scholar within the madhab is able to know which of these three opinions or statements are correct. He's called mujtahid al-madhab. That he's the mujtahid, he's the scholar within the madhab who is able to reconcile between the different opinions within the madhab. Then there's one higher than this, and he's al-mujtahid al-mutlaq. He's the greatest mujtahid. He's the one who can deduce from the Quran independent of other ulama. The mujtahid mutlaq has certain conditions, and these conditions are mentioned in usul al-fiqh. So for example, the mujtahid mutlaq, he has to know the Arabic language to a very high degree. He has to know usul al-fiqh. He has to understand how the Quran addresses the people and what the madlulat of the ayat are. He has to know al-nasikh wal-mansukh, which ayat have abrogated which ayat. He has to know al-mutlaq al-muqayyid. He has to know al-aam wal-khas. The point is that the mujtahid mutlaq, he has to have these very high stringent conditions. The author says, the Ahlul Bid'ah, they say not just an alim or a talib al-ilm, only a mujtahid mutlaq can understand the Qur'an. And then if you look at the conditions which they place for mujtahid mutlaq, the author said, maybe even Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they don't have these conditions in them. They don't have these qualities in them. These conditions that these people are placing. So this is how they work. This is the step. First of all, the first step is the Qur'an cannot be understood except by a mujtahid mutlaq. Who is a mujtahid mutlaq? You have to have this condition, fulfill this condition, this knowledge and this knowledge. And then the third step is, and since you are not a mujtahid mutlaq, because you don't have these qualities, then you cannot try to understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And therefore, all those ayat which I mentioned, all of them are disregarded. And then he said, فَسُبْحَانَ wa bihamdihi. He said, glory be to Allah, and all praise to Him. How much has Allah explained this principle to us? That we should try to ponder the Qur'an, understand the Qur'an, take guidance from the Qur'an. We don't act except by evidences. We should follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We don't blindly follow people. How many ayat in the Qur'an and hadith of the Prophet are there regarding this principle? Many, many ayat. Also qadran, also the universal signs. How many people do we see in misguidance because of the ignorance regarding the religion? And then he says, but if a person comes and he says, seek guidance from the Qur'an, try to understand the Qur'an, they say, oh, you're majnoon, you are, you're zindiq. How can you tell people to try to understand the Qur'an? And as for a person blindly following the people like blind sheep, then this is a person who is upon success and safety. So despite these clear evidences in the Qur'an, telling us to seek evidences, to ponder of the Qur'an, people are still blindly following. And then he mentioned those ayat from Surah Yasin. He said, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. He said, already the word, i.e. the decree of Allah has come into effect upon most of them, so they do not believe. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ فَهُمْ مُقَمَحُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشرهم بمغفرة وأجر كريم. He said, already the word has come into effect upon most of them that they will not believe. Indeed, we have put shackles on their necks and they are up to their chins, and so their heads are kept up. And we have put before them a barrier and behind them a barrier, and we have covered them so they do not see. And it is the same whether you warn them or you do not warn them, they will not believe. You can only warn the one who follows the message and he fears the most merciful and the one who knows the unseen. So give him glad tidings of forgiveness and a noble reward. Why did the author mention these ayat at the end of this blessed treatise? Because if you notice in the six principles, each principle the author he mentions after mentioning the doubt of the people of innovation, then he will say, وَكَمْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ هَذَا بَيَانًا شَافِعًا حَتَّى يَفْهَمُهُ أَبْلَدُ الْعَامَّةِ. After every principle he will say, and how much has Allah explained this principle? How much Allah has clarified this principle? So clear that even the most common jahil Muslim can understand. So despite these six principles being the most clearest principles, for which there are many evidences, yet despite this, many people, they refuse to accept it. So what can we say about those people except that Allah has caused their hearts to be deviated and the decree of Allah has been fulfilled upon them that they will not accept. Whether you warn them, whether you don't warn them, whether you give them evidence or you don't give them evidences, they are not going to accept this. And this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From our side, we don't know upon whom the decree of Allah has come. So for us, even the most stubborn person, the most ignorant person, we still have to give them da'wah. Because we don't know what the decree of Allah is. We only know after a person dies that Allah decreed for this person to remain upon misguidance because he himself did not listen to the guidance. But as long as a person is alive, we have to carry on giving da'wah to that person. And then the author, rahimullah, he said, آخره والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. And that's the end of the six principles. Inshallah, next week we start the fourth treatise. Just to summarize and revise, close your books first. Who can mention to me the six principles in this text without looking at the book? Who can mention? In order as well. Al-Ikhlas. Ikhlasu dini lillahi wahdahu la sharika lahu. Al-Ijtima' fi al-deen wa nahi yani tafarruqi fi. Good. Al-Sam'u wa ta'a. Good. Bayanul ilmi wal ulama wal fiqhi wal fuqaha wa bayani man tashabbaha bihim wa laysa minhum. Good. Bayanu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awliya'ahu. Then, ash-shubha allati wada'aha ash-shaytan. The doubt which ash-shaytan has placed among the minds of the people. Jazakumullah khair.